Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this week's episode of Game Cabinet. This week, we're reaching in and pulling out Legacy.
Legendary.
Sorry, I've been playing a lot of Legacy.
Legendary.
I'm grabbing specifically, I think we played Marvel Legendary.
Yeah.
Even though there's like a million different flavors to it, everybody always seems to have the Marvel one.
Well, I mean, Marvel's super popular right now, so makes sense, you know.
Boo Marvel.
Wow. Rude.
Wow. Not like straight up boo.
I mostly
boo.
Mean the movies.
Oh, man. I love the MCU.
See, I didn't want to get into this.
Oh, man.
But I'm going to get into it.
Okay. Get into it.
Marvel movies suck. Let me say a little bit different. Everything after Endgame has been kind of iffy.
Okay, so that's fair because I haven't seen anything since Endgame.
See, and you're not missing
because,
out.
Because the pandemic happened and I stopped going to the theater.
Right.
And then I know they're on Disney Plus, mm-hmm. but I hate watching Marvel movies on my tiny little computer screen.
Yeah.
Because I like explosions on the big screen.
Oh, those movies are made for movie theaters.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree with that one. Yeah. Like, everything since Endgame has been okay. My kiddo's really into Spider-Man.
Spider-Man ones have been okay.
I'm a pretty big fan of Doctor Strange, but we've gotten to the point where they're just so multiverse focused at this point.
I do really want to see the new Black Panther, though. I haven't got to see that one yet. And I'm like,
it's basically just a tribute to Chadwick Boseman, which is great.
Which I don't care about. I love that that is the thing that it is, and I will watch it for
that. It's so cool that that's all it really is. I don't even, like,
Wow. Wow, Drew.
Wow. I think I've mentioned before, my boyfriend is obsessed with movies, and he has turned me into a Marvel movie hater.
That's fair.
Because he'll show me things that, like, maybe I hadn't noticed from somebody who's not, like, huge into movies.
Yeah.
And I've been like, wow, these movies have no plot, the characters are bad, and everybody doesn't make any sense.
That's fair. See, okay, so here's my thing about the MCU.
Yeah.
I don't care about plot, which is why I think
because, that's what you have to do
because
to like them.
I like superhero movies that are just filled with comedy, punching, and explosions.
Yeah.
And Marvel ticks every single one of those boxes for me. And so I don't even care. The continuity doesn't bother me.
The last Spider-Man didn't even really have explosions in it.
I didn't see the last Spider-Man, though.
There's a reason why.
Like I said, since Endgame, haven't seen any
Marvel
movies.
That they're checking all those boxes right now.
They might not be.
They really aren't.
But like, so I've enjoyed all the Marvel cinematic universe that I've seen,
mm-hmm.
but I haven't seen all of it either. Like, I haven't watched any of the Captain America movies because I don't like Captain
don't
America.
You don't need to, though. Like, I feel like there's several of them you just don't need to watch. Like, I feel like the main Avenger movies are, like, enough for me.
Yeah. And I love the main Avenger movies. I loved the Doctor Strange movie. I loved Black Panther. I loved Black Panther. I like Guardians of the Galaxy a whole lot.
Yeah.
I love...
That one really ticks every box,
I love
though.
A lot of the Thor movies. I haven't seen every single Thor movie, but I've seen a lot of
you
the Thor
You haven't seen
movies.
Love and Thunder?
I have seen Love and Thunder, actually.
I think
that's probably
my boyfriend hated that movie.
I didn't see the one before Ragnarok.
Oh, just Thor 2 or 3?
Whichever one Loki dies in. Not the Avengers one where Loki dies permanently, but the one where Loki dies, quote.
Right. Well, he dies like a million times.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair. It's the one before Ragnarok,
like,
whichever
like most
one that
of the
was,
Thor
I
movies except
see.
For Ragnarok, like up till Ragnarok, are just not that good.
That's fair. Thor Ragnarok was one of my favorite movies of
I
all
thought
time.
I liked
we
it
are
bit.
Talking about
movies.
Marvel Legacy.
Yes. Well, anyway, the main reason that I was bringing that up was because I was like, I mentioned when we first started playing that I was not sure how I was going to feel about this, but then I found out that there's multiple different versions of it.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Because the game was fun. I was just like, I don't care about Marvel at all.
That's fair.
That's why I kind of wish that I had bought the Firefly one at this point, because I like Firefly.
So much fun.
Most of my friends like Firefly. The reason that the Marvel one is the most popular amongst the Legendaries is it was the one that really got the expansion support they said they were going to put out. Buffy, Firefly,
they have an
Predator.
One.
I was going to say there's a Predator and an Aliens one.
Oh,
and
see,
one would have been cool.
I would have played the shit out of the Predator one because
and
that is my favorite sci-fi movie
and
franchise.
And that's the thing is that Marvel just got the support that nobody else did. But Legendary also came out like during the hype of the MCU.
Yeah.
Fair.
And so being able to pump out expansions, you know, you've got
I
all sorts
even,
of villains, all sorts of heroes.
I think I even
with.
Would have liked legendary DC more than Marvel. Because, like, even though I'm not a fan of, like, the DC universe, like, totally, I like a lot of their heroes and villains better than I like Marvel.
I don't like DC live-action movies, but everything else on there.
DC live-action movies are hot trash garbage.
Especially right now when they're trying to clear out all of the actors that they're trying to get rid of.
Right.
Like, the Ezra Miller movie is coming out with Flash soon.
Oh, God.
Not to talk about movies, but...
Oh, God.
But, like, one, their animated series, though, are, like, the best.
The,
like,
animated DC?
Justice League is so good.
Top tier animated series.
But
oh my God.
I think I also agree with you. I would have been more excited about a DC version.
Yeah. Because
with Marvel, I'm a Spider-Man guy.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. Yeah, maybe a Hulk. I'm a Hulk guy. I like Hulk as well. Like, I've read
Hulk
through.
In the game? Was Hulk in the game?
In the one that we played? No, not in the
starting scenario.
He might be in there, but I don't remember. And if not, there's an expansion for him.
I mean, Spider-Man's so cool, though. Yeah,
but Spider-Man's cool.
But his cards in that game were not very good.
No, but when you play DC, I'm like, oh yeah, Green Arrow, Green Lantern.
Batman!
You know. Lots of people love Batman.
The villains in DC are so cool.
I don't have a problem with Batman, but he's kind of mad at me. I picked my millionaire playboy. Like, that's just where it came down to. I'm a Green Arrow fan. There's two millionaire playboys. You have to choose one of them. I made my choice.
That's surprising no one. I'm very much like a eat the rich person. So, like, I hate Batman on principle, but I love Batman.
Yeah, me too.
You know who you would probably like the most then? Nightwing.
Oh yeah, no, Nightwing's
dope. Because when Alfred passed recently in the comics, he left all of his money to Nightwing. All of it.
Oh, nice.
Every penny that he, because he was, and like, when Nightwing gets it, he's like, why is there so much? Like, I get that the Waynes pay well, but like, why is there so much? And in his, like, video that he's talking to Nightwing in, Alfred's straight up like, dude, I never paid for anything.
Yeah.
I ate at the mansion. I slept at the mansion. Totally. I stayed at the mansion. When I needed new clothes, the mansion bought me new clothes, more or less. Because he's like, I never was too frivolous with it that I was spending way past what they were willing to supply me for supplies.
Yeah.
And he's like, so I literally never spent any of it. And then Nightwing straight up takes it, goes to his city, and starts funding the city, like, with cleanup projects.
As he should.
And with all sorts of things.
That's how you help Gotham, Bruce!
And straight up, when Bruce is having, like, one of his fucking stewy moments, Nightwing looks at him and goes, Bruce, just admit it, it's okay, you're addicted to this shit, man. And he's like, no, I'm not. And he's like, really? Because you've always said you can't help the city with your money and be Batman.
Bold.
What am I doing?
Right? Bold, Bruce, bold.
What am I doing right now? And he's just like, bold. And he's like, okay, then just admit you're addicted to this crap and let's move on with our lives.
Get some therapy, Bruce.
But
stop trying to punch people to work through your trauma, Bruce.
Yeah, for
Fund
real.
The city, Bruce. Oh,
but
my
yeah,
God,
he's just like,
go.
But for real, Forever. Though, dude. Like, you just need some help. It's okay.
Yeah.
Like, and he's not even being, like, super mean about it. He's still just like, hey, man, like, it's time for you to just admit that you have a problem.
It's time for you to solve your childhood trauma. Like, get over it.
The comic book millionaire that I generally flock to is Tony Stark, just because he's an asshole and he owns it. And he's like, oh no, I'm the problem with rich people.
Oh yeah,
100%.
Oh, you have a problem with this? Here, let me just Well, look what I did. I just destroyed your problem because I'm a dick and I don't care.
And I appreciate that so much because he's not being like, oh, I'm the hero of the city and I'm this like super
I'm
great.
Dark and troubled.
I'm a dickhead millionaire and I'm going to do my thing.
Yeah, he's like, I'm the worst and I have a drinking problem.
And
some major daddy issues. Yeah. But also, I'll punch that alien in the face. So whatever.
Yeah. And that's why I like, and that's why I'm a Green Arrow fan.
Yeah.
Is that at the end of the day, Green Arrow tends to far more like be cognizant of his douchebaggery. Like when he's like, like a lot of the time when he and Canary start having a thing, they tend to cut it because he's like, I just get how toxic we kind of are to each other and we just shouldn't do. Like, he's at least cognizant enough to be like, I love you, but I know how bad we are for each
other. Oh my God, yeah.
You know, they both tend to do that kind of a thing, and that's why I like him. He's still, he's more of that Tony Stark where it's like, no, I'm a millionaire, yeah. I'm a dickhead, and I don't care. I'm gonna go fight crime now. Thanks, have a good day.
Yep.
You know?
Anyway.
So this anyway. Game.
So this game, we're just never going to actually talk about this game.
It's because it's legendary, there's the rules to talk about, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Really, after that, fair. It comes down to what makes it unique is the amount of skins and themes that it come across.
That's
and
fair.
That's how, and that randomness of card pull. And legendary is a deck builder similar to, if anybody's ever played Hero Realms or Star Realms, it has a similar process where you get your base starting deck, you have a buy market that you get, some of your starting deck has coins for you to buy things with, has some attack damages to attack the things with. In Hero Realms and Star Realms, you're attacking your fellow players and things like that. In Legendary, you are attacking a row of supervillains. Essentially, it's like sewers to the top of the city. They kind of start you from the bottom to the top of the city, and as every player takes a turn, you flip a villain over and shuffle over as need be. You take your turns to attack the villains.
It's a cooperative game.
Yeah, and you're all cooperative, and then you can have the option for cooperative competitive, which I'm always a big fan of. I like to see who wins at the end, but we won, but who did the best out of us?
Drew won.
I didn't win.
Yeah, you did. You got the most points out of all of us.
Well, no, we won. I just happened to do the best.
Drew won.
I just happened to do the best.
You work as basically agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. buying superheroes.
Yeah. And then you have your basic
hand. Which feels weird.
It does.
You start with your basic hand. It's, so if you take it less from money, they're promotionals.
No, I get that. It was just like, I'm going to buy Spider-Man.
You know what makes me laugh? I kind of wish that Captain America had been in this one that we were running, primarily because then I just call them Bonds the whole time.
Oh, yeah. Like, 100%.
Like, I think that's the better way to put it. Buy a Bond and buy a soldier.
Oh, that's not problematic.
It can be. But you spend and buy your heroes. There are a myriad of different style of cards, like intuition, tech. I think straight up just brute strength is one. But all these cards kind of synergize together and might help proc another card. Like I had a couple that were draw a card. If you have another instinctive character that was played on this turn, draw two cards, you know, and sometimes I got those two together.
Or there were ones that were like, this hero normally does like two damage, but if you have another tech hero in your hand, it does three damage instead, like kind of stuff like that. So the whole point is to build your hand of heroes to fight the villains, and each villain has special conditions and things like that.
Well, there's also the mastermind that they called it?
Yes. Yeah, which we never got around to actually fighting.
But we were close.
We were close.
We got, right as we were having to wrap up, we were super close to like actually being able to start pushing.
I think
on
by
that.
The time we were wrapping up, we like that was the height of the game for me, where I was like, I get this. I could play this for another hour and do really well.
I would have liked to have a chance to play it a little longer.
Like a whole game.
Yeah. Because I was right about then starting to be like, okay, I get where we're going. Yeah. I get the things we have quicker. To do. Yeah. I know what I have to pull in order to do this, and this. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm getting the feel for it. And then we were like, oh, we're out of time.
Well, and what's funny is we maybe had another half hour.
Yeah.
Maybe, because we only had like two or three scheme cards, which the schemes change based depending on which scheme card you take. We have just played the beginner's scenario. Mm-hmm. So, like, our last two cards are pretty much like, take a buttload of wounds, die.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, cool. But yeah, once you clear out your supervillains from the rows, from the, like, city, that's when you can start attacking the mastermind. And then the mastermind has, like, three or four. I think it's four cards.
Yeah, it's four.
And as you beat the top one, you flip the next one and go finish getting to the bottom, and then you've defeated the villain, essentially.
So it's basically like you're saving the world from a supervillain, like, multiple times.
Yeah. It's like you got the supervillain. It's like four movies.
Mm-hmm, basically, yeah.
Yeah, it's like four movies.
It's a four-part comic.
Except there's, like, 25 Hawkeyes, 25 Iron Mans, a million Spider-Mans, like, just all over the place.
Well, those are just actions they're doing.
Well, right.
Yeah. There's so, like, only one hero, but, like, they're just doing multiple things.
But I have, like, seven Hawkeyes in my head.
Well, but it's just one Hawkeye, but you're like, hey, Hawkeye, shoot this guy, and then shoot those four guys, too.
Okay. I guess that does make more sense.
Shoot that guy. Do a barrel roll. Shoot that guy. Mm-hmm. Do a kick flip back over to here. Yeah, shoot that guy. guy.
Pass the baton off to Wolverine, let him go slash, 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 and then we're done. Like, basically, you're sitting at S.H.I.E.L.D. headquarters just coordinating with these guys. Sure. You're like, hey, I see somebody coming up in the sewers. You guys got to get down there and fight him, you know. So it's really interesting, though. I like the bystanders, too.
Yeah.
That they can kidnap bystanders and then be like,
some people just start by kidnapping.
Green Goblin just spawns with this bystander, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's because Green Goblin is a jerk.
Yeah, he's a big...
Oh, no hesitations.
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
Willem Dafoe is the best.
William Dafoe is the best Green Goblin.
I really badly... MCU can do me a solid right here. Give me a Gold Goblin animated movie or something. Because the new Gold Goblin series, I was very like, this is stupid. I don't want to deal with this. This is dumb. And then I read what it actually was, and I was like, okay, this is actually really cool. It is Norman Osborn having the Green Goblin taken out.
Oh.
He straight up has the Green Goblin more or less like suppressed to the point it is not in control anymore. He remembers absolutely everything and just feels terrible, but has a moment where he sees Spider-Man getting really messed up, and he had a new prototype glider because he was still working on the glider as a like Oscorp thing where he was like, no, like it sucks Green Goblin messed this up for kind of, but at the same time, this could be really beneficial to us as like a military force, but also just in transportation and things like that. And he grabs his prototype and the suit for it. And it's that white and gold suit. And he comes out and starts helping Spider-Man, like straight up fighting crime.
Amazing.
And it's a like 4 or 5 part series where he is being the good guy. Mm. Where like Norman Osborn is now a good guy. And I don't know if they're going to leave him a good guy now. Like the last issue that I saw that they put out was like, he's confronted by his dark past. Will he be able to hold out, or will he fall into those terror? Like, will the goblin come back?
What we need is an animated series with William Dafoe voicing the Gold Goblin. Because William Dafoe is the Green Goblin in my mind. Forever.
I would be super stoked if we got like a current Spider-Man. We got a small little Gold Goblin, like even bit where it was like maybe 20 minutes out of the whole hour and a half that we got a like cool Golden Goblin bit where we get to see Norman be a good guy, which is kind of what we got to see in the last movie. So I wonder if that's what they were trying to propel it off of was we got to see him be like, oh no, I'm a good guy. For a little bit, and then he became a bad guy, and then kind of ended up a good guy again, and it's this weird ebb and flow, and I'm hoping that they're just finally like, hey, no, the Golden Goblin thing is actually working. We're gonna let Norman Osborn be a good guy and just hang out with Spider-Man now, because that'd just be a cool, like, full loop for me of like these two really good friends that have to be separated because of this terrible awful, and then being able to come back together years later. As like, hey,
well, and because you figured your thing out. Norman Osborn was like a father figure for Peter. Yeah. Like it was so heartbreaking to me that he went the way that he did, just because it really hurt Peter a lot.
But that's why I think it'd be cool for us to get maybe like a bit of a Gold Goblin scene in the movies of just being like, hey, we get to just be homies and hang out. You know, even if it's like them getting shawarma.
Oh my god.
You know, like them just chilling out, eating, and being like, yeah, being like, oh, hey, it's Norman, you know, and he sits down and takes off his helmet and is like, oh, God, guys, well, I'm sorry I did this crap to some of you for a while. This is exhausting. You know, just a 10-minute scene of something like that, I think would be really cool for us to see.
It would be so good. I don't know, man. Legendary, it was fun.
It was. Yeah. It's fun.
I think it would have been more fun. One of the big complaints we had setting it up was that it took so much time to set up because the box was not organized super well. Because it's a demo box. And then that's just what happens when multiple people have their hands on stuff. And so it took us a good 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes to set everything up. And I feel like with that 15 to 20 minutes, if we had had it set up quicker, it would have been more game time, more play time. We would have had a better time of it.
But that's also just like, if this is a game you're interested in, you just need to organize your box.
Yeah, just organize your box the way you want it. Or go into it knowing that you're going to spend some time setting it up. I've never been a huge fan of games that have like multiple scenario setups like that. It's just something that I'm like, I don't like keeping my pieces organized in that fashion. I like being able to know what I'm setting up every time I'm setting up without having to dig for different things in my box. So for me, that was like a little bit of a eh.
Especially a game that's so expandable with expansions.
That's the thing is that if we use those divider cards to actually like alphabetize it real quick.
That's fair.
That solved the whole problem of like just having it alphabetized, not even clumped together. Like I have mine clumped together for the first scenario, but that's because of the fact that I tend to teach people the game.
That's fair.
Therefore, I'm almost always playing the first scenario. But the rest of my stuff is labeled out to be what it is, just so I can flick through alphabetically, grab the things I want, and then move on.
That's super fair. I feel like box organization is a big part of this game that you have to be cognizant of, and if you're just a person that doesn't enjoy box organization, don't do it.
It's just a couple extra minutes.
It's just a couple extra minutes.
Luckily, it is just cards too.
Oh yeah, it's just cards and a giant
like cardboard like playmat. Yes. Basically,
I do really like how the playmat was laid out. I thought that was a really cool. I mean. It functions for the game.
Yeah.
But it makes everything very clear of like, this goes here, this goes here, this goes here. There's no ambiguity of like, what do I do with this card?
They've even got a nice little rule reference for how to take your turns and things on the board itself.
Turn rounds, everything.
The rule book was a little intimidating, but we did all watch a Let's Play video beforehand, so.
Is the rule book also have like descriptions of what every card is, basically? Like, I imagine that thing is probably huge, right?
It's not super big,
but it just, there's a lot, it's not laid out well. Yes, okay. that's what it is. And there's so much that goes into the game that I feel like the rule book has, it struggles with concisely conveying, like, this is what you need to do on every turn, because there's so many different options and there's so many different things that could happen based on scenarios that it's like, but if then. Like,
yeah, it starts out being like, buy and attack. That's what you do. And then you quickly are like, no, I have a lot more going on.
That's more of this than I thought.
But if you have a wound in your deck, then you have to do X, Y, and Z. But if you have this in your deck, you have to do X. And it's like, okay, let's rewind. Be kind. Rewind. What? I don't know. It was a little confusing. The Let's Play videos that I found online were also a little confusing to me. But that's, again, it's a huge, expansive game, and they're trying to condense it.
I also watched one that was like 5 minutes long.
That's so fair. Okay. I watched like a 15-minute one because I watched a 5-minute one and was like, what is this? This makes no sense. And so I watched a little bit longer one and was like, okay, I still don't know what's going on. I didn't really understand how to play the game until we started playing.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of those games that I think you need to play to learn. Yeah. Because having somebody talk to you about it, it doesn't make a ton of sense.
Yeah, I will say the cards were very easy to understand.
The cards were super easy to understand once you actually started reading them, for sure. Each of your heroes has different abilities. Not every Wolverine card is the same Wolverine card. They all have different things.
Like.
And yeah,
like
that was really cool.
Amongst the same cards, too.
I feel like it would have been a lot harder to build. Like, I feel like it would have been a little more aggravating to me the longer we played and the bigger my deck got. With like, I don't want any of these cards. These are all trash cards.
Well, luckily, I mean, like, we even got to the point where like those scenario, what were those called, the schemes, like we had so many of them that if we had kept going we would have died soon. So like,
yeah, we were two schemes away from just dying.
The randomness of the schemes, sometimes they're super low in the deck and you can get a decent trick in, but it does more or less each scenario has a timer put in. I don't think all of them end with you dying, though.
No, that's that scheme.
But most of them, most of them end with like you lose.
Yeah, because
it was like an 5-8 and then that does whatever it does. Like the amount of schemes you had did more to your game.
Yeah, it was like, for the one that we did, because we did the beginning one, which is just Red Skull, and it was like 1-4, nothing happens when you have 4 scheme cards, nothing happens.
When did we draw those during the game?
They're in the villain pile.
Oh, so we just randomly got them,
Yeah,
right?
So okay, they just randomly come out.
I was trying to remember how those even came up, because we don't even, like...
They're shuffled into the villain deck, so every turn you pull a villain card. Every once in a while you get a scheme card instead, and the scheme card, as you go, adds more detriments to the game for you. I think ours
They're the plot twist.
The plot twist. It's the villain schemes coming to life. I don't know. It was fun, though. I enjoyed it. I think I would have enjoyed it more if we had a longer time to play.
Yeah,
I
agree.
That's kind of where I'm at with...
I also just don't think it's my type of game. In general, like, I like the card building aspect of it. I just think I'd have more fun doing a different game.
That's fair.
I think you'd like Hero Realms better. I think everybody here would like Hero Realms better.
Yeah.
It's quite similar, except for with Hero Realms, they've got a cool class system.
Oh, okay.
Where essentially it just changes your starting deck. Mm-hmm. Instead of being like, okay, cool, we have the exact same starting deck, You have slightly different decks. There's like wizards, hunters, things like that. Mm-hmm. It gives you a couple, few different classes. But then it is just buy an attack. But you like put your champions on the board and then don't worry about them unless somebody kills them.
Oh, gotcha.
And okay. things like that. And, but it's specifically competitive. It's between, and it's only a two-player game. Is okay. the biggest thing
I
about
think
it.
This game would have been cooler as like a cooperative game is because it's supposed to be cooperative if... Again, like, we understood the cards better. Like, because then, like, we would go, we would know, okay, well, I think tech would be really helpful for me. I think you would be great doing this way or whatever, however
yeah, yeah, different yeah.
kinds of cards. Because you really do have to play and start strategizing what cards you actually want to buy.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what they mean, you're not going to win.
Exactly. Yeah. I do think that if we played longer, we would have started yeah. getting into that cooperative mindset, yeah. being like, hey, guys, I've got, like, 3 tech cards in my hand. I'd like to just keep pulling tech heroes. Yeah. So if you guys could like leave those for me, I'm like 2 agents away from being able to mm-hmm. buy a tech hero if we could just hold off on that. Or like, oh, I really want to do the instinct ones, but like I need 2 more gold to yeah. get it. So like, don't buy that Wolverine, please, mm-hmm. kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Hey, I want to do the tech heroes, but I'm going to focus on like the Iron Man stuff because I really like Iron Man. But if you want to do tech heroes and focus on Green Arrow, like go ahead. Mm-hmm. Like,
sure.
It's Hawkeye.
I know it's Hawkeye. I realized it as soon as I said it. I was like, oh, we were talking about Green Arrow earlier and my brain just was stuck on Green Arrow.
It's because he's better.
It's because he's a little much better. I love Hawkeye, but he's such a lame character.
Who is Hawkeye?
Even
he has wife and kid.
He has wife and child.
Even as Ronin, he's still meh.
Like, yeah. like I love him in the sense that he's like the non-superhero.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just really good with a bow and arrow.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just really, and he's got like super hearing mm-hmm. kind of thing. Or not super hearing because he's deaf. He's got like really good eyesight, but he is deaf, which is really
Hawkeye's
fun.
Deaf?
It canonically in the comics he reads lips.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That would have been a way cooler
comic
character.
Book, yeah.
Yeah, comic books, yeah. When
I was like, are you talking MCU?
No.
That was the thing they changed on him.
No. Comic books. In the comic books, he is deaf. Like, Deadpool, when he talks to him, he, like, rolls up his mask so that Hawkeye can read his lips, and he, like, learns a little bit of sign language to, like, talk to him about
I had
stuff.
No idea. Yeah. That would have been a much cooler character, I think.
I think he's got, like cochlear implants or, like, a hearing aid, but he doesn't always have them on because uh-huh. they suck. They hurt,
right.
know, kind of thing. So he's mostly deaf.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
He's a neat character, but...
He's so boring in Marvel. In, like, the movies, he's so boring.
I know.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing fun about Clint in the movies. He's...
I was so... That was one of the things that disappointed me so much in the MCU was Clint. Because I was like, oh, I'm curious to see how they're going to do Hawkeye. I'm curious to see what they're going to do with his character. Like, that's going to be really neat. And then they just made him, like, really good at archery. And I was like...
Sure. That's all he is.
Okay. But, yeah, but the aspect of him being deaf is so cool in the comics. Like, it's such a neat character thing because he's so good at everything.
No, that's why one of my, for any of those YouTubers who have watched, like, epic death battles between, like, Goku and Superman.
Epic rap battles?
No, it's not epic rap battles. They're literally called, like, epic death battles.
Oh, okay.
Something like that. But they do, like, Superman versus Goku and a bunch of things that are similar. And they try to stick with, like, people. And they did a Green Arrow Hawkeye one. And they tried to say that Hawkeye looses a bow that is about 260 pounds. Not with that goddamn form.
Nope.
Period.
There's no way that bow is 260 pounds.
And then recently, I watched how to make a Hawkeye bow. Like, his classic, like... collapsible, snap it back into place. No, absolute no nonsense.
Well, it also wouldn't make sense to carry around garbage. An almost 300-pound bow and not be a giant man.
So
he's tiny in the movies.
My thing is Green Arrow at his like main peak pulls a 120 bow, and if you ever look at a lot of the arcs, I went back when I was I had recently watched a video on longbow archery where the guy's like, "This is a 160-pound bow." Dude makes Kyle look small. Like, he's not a roided out guy. He's just a big dude. And he's like, so I'm going to stand really weird compared to what normal archery people would think. And he takes this really weird, like, way stretched out leg style stance. And he's like, you have to do this, though. He's like, here's me pulling like a normal traditional art bow. And he gets about maybe a foot apart before he has to bring it back. And then he's like, and now... And he starts breathing real deep and then pulls all the way back in his weird stance and then snaps it. And I was like, they draw Green Arrow like that. Like, they specifically draw Green Arrow in this weird stance. Mm-hmm. I always thought it was, like, supposed to be this crazy action shot and mm-hmm. stuff like that. I think they were actually trying to indicate that he's using the long bow style. And that's why he pulls 100, I think at the end he pulls about 120 pounds. And when you're pulling that weight, you've got to be pulling in that longboat style, even if it's not 160. Yeah, oh, yeah. He go up to 160, but watch that video. You'll see how much effort it took that guy.
Oh, yeah.
So for him to pull 120, though, at a reasonable speed is about reasonable when I started paying attention to his stance. And then I started looking at more Hawkeye imagery, and they have Hawkeye stand as a traditional bowman.
Yeah.
Like what we would do as competition archery nowadays.
Yeah.
Is how he stands. And then they were trying to be like, no, he pumps a 200-pound bow. And I was like, no.
No.
There is literally no way to do that.
I mean, I feel like they were just like, no, he's a really cool archer and we don't know anything about archery. Yeah, so we're just going to say that he's like, does this. You can't, it will destroy your skeleton. It will unhinge your freaking muscles. You can't pull that.
I have recently found a new kind of bow that is very specifically engineered to help with that kind of output.
Well, the compound bows help with it, but that's
It was the magic. Math is super not there.
I know.
It's like 1 to 1.5-ish.
Yeah.
Like, you can get about 1.5 out of making something a compound bow.
Oh, yeah, no.
But there is a new compound bow that is meant to be like an elk-killing bow that is meant to, like, help punch through. But you have to use their specialty arrows because anything else pretty much shatters when you use it. You have to use their specialty heads. Because otherwise it doesn't get the clean in and out, and that's the whole purpose of this kind of a bow, is an in and out shot. And you pretty much can only get them from one specific manufacturer who has the patent on it and doesn't manufacture at a very high volume. Nice. So I don't care if you are Hawkeye, you're not getting one of those two things.
I mean,
have Tony Stark make you one and it'll be great.
I was going to say, Tony Stark and S.H.I.E.L.D. could probably procure one. But
that was my thing. These guys tend to go through and really chunk off and explain why they do their things. They do their research. I watched them do the research for Kryptonian skin cell regeneration while they did the Goku fight. That's why I was like, no, you guys just didn't explain enough here. You know, if they wanted to break it down, I would have been accepting if they're like, look, his bow is made out of vibranium. This is going to equal this. This is going to be this. And they broke down the math of how his bow is made and had explained that it was made like this style bow, like the elk style bow I was talking about. Then I could have been cool with it. But they're like, no, he just draws a more potent bow. And I was like,
No,
I don't care what you say. You guys should have spent 20 more minutes researching to realize that's real stupid. Well,
welcome to the game cabinet where we talk about competitive bow hunting.
This game is fun. It's cool if you like these kinds of games. I just think like both like in general, like I would love to try. What was the other game you mentioned?
Firefly? No. Or Hero Realms?
Hero Realms.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Maybe fish around in this genre board game for me. But,
they just put out, I think we have it. Forget Legendary, it was great. But in all honesty, if you really want my opinion on deck building games, Hero Realms just dropped a like full kit and caboodle version. Before it was like, you got Hero Realms and then you need to go buy all the classes if you want to have the classes.
Yeah.
And then it got really hard for probably, what year is it? Yeah, for about 6 years, you couldn't find the classes anymore. Oh, they just weren't around. Mm-hmm. And then they've produced a whole box for Hero Realms that has all of the classes in it. It has the base game and then all of the classes in it. I think it's only like $10 more than original Hero Realms was.
Okay. Nice.
Which the classes themselves were like $7.99 packs that you had to buy outside of it.
Okay, so really, really affordable.
Yeah, I want to say it's like $35-40. I might be wrong. I haven't double checked the price, so don't come at me.
I will say that the thing that I did like about Legendary that I don't think I'd enjoy as much about Hero Realms is I really do like cooperative games. I'm a big fan of cooperative games because I don't know, I enjoy not having to compete with people who play the games a lot because I don't play a lot of games.
Yeah.
And so I'm not always good at games and I lose a lot.
So they have a thing for that. And I'm pretty sure that that's in that box.
Ooh.
They did at one point party versus monster essentially.
Ooh.
But it is 3v1.
Okay.
Is kind of how it's set.
Kind of like Betrayal.
Yeah. So yeah, exactly. Like I'm the monster. I've got a super cool big starting deck. And I get to buy and trade with like you guys do. But the three of you are coming at me.
Okay.
So it gives it is a little bit competitive, but it does add that like cooperative competitive aspect to it, where it's like, hey, you know, these three get to actually work together to try to take down the boss. And I think they did a lich and a dragon.
Oh, nice. I mean, I would do competitive if I could play a lich. Like, let's be honest. Yeah. We all know that really I just want to play a lich at the end of the day, no matter what we're doing.
But
that's my life goals.
Legendaries, I do like the legendaries competitive, and I like that you get a chance to play more with your friends and kind of help
cooperative.
Get you used to the deck building style, essentially. Yeah. But I think as far as introducing your friends to deck building, there are a lot of other games that are significantly better for it.
Deck building, the deck building game. The game about literally building decks.
Yeah.
I want to play that game so bad. And by decks, we literally mean like the wooden ones. Like porches on your house. Decks. It's the deck building game.
Oh, yeah. You've mentioned this before.
Yes.
But like I do think
if I had any kind of deck building game under my belt, that Legendary would have been a lot easier to pick up.
Yeah.
I literally cannot think of a single deck building game that I've actually ever played.
Yeah. I mean, Magic is not the same, but it is kind of the same. And I've played Magic, but like...
Yeah, the TCG where you have a pre-built deck versus trying to build your deck like, while you play.
Right, from a million assortments of cards. Like, yeah. It's totally different.
I mean, I'm probably wrong. Like, if I went through every game that I've ever played, I've probably played a deck building game somewhere along the line, but I can't think of it.
Did we ever play Couriers together?
No.
Okay. I was just one that I'm a really big fan of, and it's a deck building dice game.
Oh, nice.
So instead of building your deck, you build your dice pouch.
Oh, that's fun.
Which is really neat. Yeah. And
dice
then,
are fun.
And then, but so like you essentially have like 13-ish cards on the field, and then as you roll not mana, because we can't call it mana.
Why can't you call it mana?
Because they're too close to the TC or into the TCG thing. So they have it like quid or something like that. Quiddity or something like that.
Is that a copywritten term?
But mana.
No, mana's not a copywritten term.
Okay. But mana's in every single fantasy ever.
Ish. It is ish.
Okay.
For when it comes down to calling a resource in a specific game that powers the game's mechanics, mana, yes, it is copyrighted for that term.
Interesting.
So because it's magic
for specific because, things.
Yeah. Okay. Because magic has it as this is the resource that runs our whole game. We call it all mana.
Ah, okay.
And that's why you see, like, Pokemon has energy.
Gotcha.
That's why Yu-Gi-Oh! Doesn't have anything. It's why Couriers does Quiddity. And a lot of other games just have a weird name for their mana source.
Interesting.
But that's my favorite part, is that they go through and they're like, Quiddity, not mana. Quiddity, not mana. And they air quote right behind it, like, all the time, not mana. Not mana. But that's like what you use, and so you bend that Quiddity to recruit from the wild, essentially, and you can recruit dice into your pool, and then and then if you roll like the creatures that are on the dice, they sit out in front of you, and that's how you get glory points and stuff. They're supposed to last all the way until the next turn, but everybody every turn attacks you. Everybody every turn attacks everybody is kind of how it is. It's like you put your monsters out, and you're like, I have a total of 10 strength, and they're like, I've got 8 dead. You know, oh, I've got 11. Cool, you're fine then. You know, and it comes back around, and hopefully by the time it gets back to you, your guys are still alive because everybody else has had their chance.
So. Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
But there are a lot of other deck building games, I think, that are significantly better for teaching people and kind of just in general than Legendary. Legendary is not bad. It's just
fun. I think it's just a very basic version of what this is.
Yeah. And I think we're a little past our basic versions of things where it's like, I want at least some flavor to whatever basicness you're adding in.
Yeah. I also think I would have enjoyed, I enjoyed it. Like we said, Marvel isn't like my favorite property. Mm-hmm. I would have loved the Buffy one. I would have been so
Buffy would have been really fun.
About Buffy. I would have been so hyped about Alien or Predator.
Alien would have been so fun.
Alien would have been so fun. Yeah.
I think they made an AVP one now too at this point.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think they did a Predator, they did an Alien, and then they eventually did a Alien versus Predator, I think.
Which would have been great.
That's cool.
The Firefly one would have been super fun. But I still think I would have had the same complaints out of all of it. I just would have been like much more hyped about the subject matter.
Yeah.
like
I said, Legendary's not bad. It's just not super crazy.
I think if you like deck building games and you find a property that you really like it's a fun game.
It's also not super expensive.
And it's not super expensive. And I think it's a fun, like, sit down with your group of friends and just kind of have a cooperative game mm-hmm. and enjoy the time that you're spending with them. And again, the setup wouldn't have been nearly as bad if everything was organized.
Well, and that's the other thing I was going to say is if you know you've got three or four friends coming over, take 20 minutes yourself, set everything up, you know, get the starting decks all set up and set out to where people can just grab one and be ready. It makes the game go a lot faster at that point. Because you can pre-set up if your homies are coming over. You can take
as much as we're complaining about the setup, it's really not that bad.
It's really not that bad.
But it's just kind of one of those things that's kind of tedious about it. It's like you're looking through cards. You're not like finding pieces to set on a board. You're looking through just handfuls of cards all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to poo-poo it too much because it was fun. I did have a really good time playing.
I just think we've had better times playing different games.
Yeah.
Like Subterra to me was much more enjoyable and fun than this. We also didn't play with George, and George is not here right now. So maybe that's the key.
Yeah, that's fair.
George is the fun that we need.
George is the linchpin to our fun.
I know he won't listen to this, so I'm going to compliment the hell out of him.
He might. He listened to our last one.
Oh, I guess that's true. Okay. George, I'm just kidding.
Damn, dude, you're doing better than I am. I don't listen to this. I don't listen ever.
I know. He was like, man, our Subterra episode was so cool. I liked it so much. And I was like, you listen to our podcast, George? You're like on the podcast.
I was here.
I also listened to it. Just because it's fun.
That's fair. It's like I listen to it when we record it, and then I have to listen to it again when I edit it. Right. So I don't actually listen to it.
I don't
it
blame
once
you
it
at all.
Out.
I also don't blame anybody at this table if they did not want to listen to it because we are a part of it and we have the conversation. But it's kind of fun to listen back and be like, what did we say?
What did we
How
say?
Did Hannah edit this? Did she make me seem evil?
Always.
She always, me at least. I know for a fact she tries to spin that evil
card. The only thing that you say on the podcast is, that's it. That's all she says the whole podcast with you. It's just edits.
It just
your only
everything.
Response is the F word. Every response is just Drew saying the F word.
But I can't actually have you say.
So it's bleeped out.
So it's just every time Drew talks, it's just beep, 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 beep,
yes,
beep, beep, beep.
Thank you, Drew.
I am okay if that is what I am okay if I've been reduced down to
nothing.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
The whole intro
this
is just
episode, beep. And then just finish the intro, and then the rest of my talking is all beeps. I would be so okay with that. I should do that for my stream. Just make it every time. Time I talk. Just
yeah, if you've never heard an episode, you don't know what Hannah does to you.
I actually put voice mods on everybody so we all sound like chipmunks.
Yes! Oh, dope.
Yeah. Sometimes I slow George down way down so that he just got that deep, like, sound to his voice.
Oh,
that sounds
like a really he is a wizard.
I would hate
I know.
Listening to that.
I would hate
so
listening
much.
To it.
I now just want to buy the Lord of the Rings game just to see if there's a Radagast so I can make George be Radagast.
Oh, yes.
To make it relevant for him.
I do occasionally when I'm editing, when I'm like going back through a huge chunk that I've already edited, I will put us on like 2x speed mm-hmm. so that I can like get through it.
Yeah.
And I hate it.
Yeah.
Dude.
Us pitched up to 2x speed, I cannot tell who's talking because all of our voices are just similar in registry. Uh-huh. So I can tell that it's you or me, but I don't know who of
which
us
of the
it,
two
is.
It is. Yeah.
And I can tell that it's Drew or George, but I have no idea which one of them is talking.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't like that.
All right, folks. As much as Legendary was awesome, and as much as, you know, we had fun with it, I do think it is time to pack it up.
Yep.
Shove it back in the closet, maybe at the bottom.
Yeah.
Pack this one up for this time. But thanks for joining us, guys.
Yeah, I think the Legendary is a solid game.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you like deck building games, you'd enjoy
it. And if you like the subject matter about the game, I think you would enjoy it way more, like in general.
I will give it the same rate that currently the number one Diablo player gives Diablo 4. 6 out of 10.
I like that.
It's actually worth
its
money.
I think it's a good 6 out of 10.
I think it's a good 6 to 7 out of 10. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good game. I don't say don't buy it. I just say, like, if you really like Buffy, buy the Buffy one.
Yeah.
You know, that's cool collector's things to have, and it'll probably be really fun.
Yeah. Buy it for the collector's aspect of it versus the, oh, this is going to be a super jank board game.
Yeah.
Buy it because you like the property.
I think it's also chill. Yeah, as Barking goes, it's not super competitive. It's not super cooperative. It's just like a game we play that we're having fun doing.
I would like to have a bunch of drinks and play Legendary.
Sure.
It's a good drinking game.
It is a super
totally
good drinking
that.
Game.
There we go. There we
I
go.
I have rules for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I could totally see that being fun. Like every time you kill a villain, you have to take a shot or something like
every
that.
Every time you get a wound, you have to take a shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Every time you slay a villain, you take a drink. Every time you take a wound, you take a shot.
To be fair, this could do anything for any game. Every game would be more fun if we drank. Not necessarily every time, but...
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, Legendary's
solid,
fun.
Solid 6 out of 10. I like it.
Solid 6 out of 10. It's worth its money.
Yeah.
We'll catch you guys next time. See you later.
You've been listening to The Game Cabinet at the AU Radio Podcast Network. If you're interested in any of the titles from today's episode, you can check out the link tree in the description to visit Adventures Underground at their online store to browse the selections or inquire about special orders. If you'd like to contact the show, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just check out that link tree in the description. Or you can email the show at podcast@advunderground.com. You can also support this show and all the awesome shows on AU Radio that you love by becoming a patron of the AU Radio Podcast Network. You can find us at patreon.com/ADV Underground. For as little as $1 a month, you can help us continue to create these shows, and soon, many more.
You've been listening to the AU Radio Podcast Network. Music is provided by CubbyPurplePlanet.com and BenSound.com. Views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Adventures Underground. AU Radio is a production of Adventures Underground, copyright 2018, all rights reserved.